I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 86 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Yay!
Yay! And my voice is kind of scratchy because I'm getting over being sick.
Yes.
So bear with me. I will try not to cough into the microphone. I have two beverages. Let's start with a couple of announcements.
Yes.
I drew for the Intrepid Otter giveaway, and that was the winner was Nina Clock 145.
Yay! Congratulations.
And I still have your yarn. I emailed you all this, but because I was sick and it's crazy because of stuff.
Yeah.
It will be going out this week. So happy holidays. We'll get there right around Christmas, I'm sure. And then you have until, I think, Christmas or Christmas Eve to enter the Head to Toe Kids Knits giveaway. Uh-huh. And then I'll close that whichever day that was that I said it closed. I think I said it was Christmas. And I'll get the winner to Jocelyn. I'll post it on the board and all that stuff.
Great.
Yeah. So that's that. And we're in the very last part of our deep stash knit along stuff.
I am knitting deep stash right now.
Yeah, good for you. I am not. So keep posting in the threads. I still haven't posted prizes or anything, but I'll figure it out by the end of the year.
And we were sent some prizes by a listener, Leah T.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I conveniently left at home.
That's okay.
So, but we haven't figured out what we're going to do with that yet, where that's going to fit into the prize matrix.
Yeah. We'll talk. I wasn't at knitting on Monday, we could have talked because I was sick. So, and I didn't have a voice anyways. Oh. So, Let's
get to
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Me?
Yeah,
you.
Me. Okay. So, I haven't gotten a ton done. So I was at knitting a couple weeks ago, and Karen was drinking tea, and they served it in one of those little, like, metal
teapots.
Spouted tiny teapots, and she was complaining that it was losing heat really quickly, and we were joking that she needs to knit a cozy for it. And then she said, oh, did you see that one? The mug sweater and jaunty tam. And she showed me the pattern, and it's kind of like what it sounds like. It's a little cabled mug cozy, but there's a little tam that goes on the top of your mug, and what you do basically is knit this little round of fabric that you block over a, like, cream or a, like, a cottage sour cheese container lid or whatever, and put a big pom-pom on it, and use that as your, like, mug topper to keep your drink warm. So I had to knit that. It called for... Well, the funny thing was the pattern called for 66 yards of off-white Cascade 220, and I had this little ball of Cascade 220 superwash in my stash that was off-white, and I had exactly 66 yards of it, which I thought was, like,
that's amazing.
It was like the universe saying, knit this thing. Yeah. So I knit it. And then they're all like... Or Karen was like, I can't believe you knit it. You showed it to me? What? So that was silly, and I did that. And then...
It's cute, though.
It is cute. And then I knit a hat, just a plain hat, that I gave to Monica for her charity collection out of some Portland tweed I got from...
So, yeah, we should talk about Monica a little bit, because I think she's dropping off hats this week.
Oh, yeah. So she's been knitting all year long to give... hats to Real Change vendors and their families. And
If you're not in Seattle, Real Change is like it's a nonprofit, like, newspaper that very low income and homeless people vend, like outside supermarkets and on the sidewalks and stuff.
So instead of panhandling, they actually have to go and purchase the papers, and then they sell them.
And they make money off the papers.
So that they can earn money off of that. So so she's been working on that all year, where she was going to make, like, 100 hats, but then I've just been donating a lot of my stuff to her,
And she
too.
Did her personal goal is 100 hats, which she made. Yes. And I think it's on her Ravelry page if you want to look at the giant pile of hats.
Yeah.
Her username is Kirbymo on Ravelry. Yeah. So it's pretty amazing. And then we both have given her hats mm-hmm. for, and you've given her some other stuff too. Right?
Yeah, mitts I just gave, and, I've made mitts and just different things that I've just, as I've, I, you know, because I just make stuff sometimes and I know I want to give it to charity, but I don't necessarily have something specific in mind. So. Yeah. It was easy to add to her pile.
Yeah, and they didn't need super wash stuff, right. So which makes it really nice for knitters.
Yeah. So then a friend of mine is going through some bad stuff, and a group of us are making her an afghan. So I knit a square for an afghan for her out of some Noro crayon. And it made me, like, I'm just, like, fallen in love with this color now. I'm like, ooh, I need to make a whole sweater out of this. But
it's not just, a discontinued color.
No, it's one of the new ones, oh, okay. Actually, or one of the newer ones. So, yeah, but we'll see if that happens. I've got such a long list of stuff that I need to do. So my younger son wanted a pair of mitts, and I showed him the maize pattern from... the simple collection from Tin Can Knits, because I showed him one picture, one of the ones from
head to toe.
The head to toe, and he's like, nah, and I think it had to do with the color, so I knew that the picture in Maze, like, they show it on a dude mm-hmm. in brown, and I thought, oh, he'll look at that, and it'll look like guy's mitts to him, so I said, how about those, and he said yes, and then I let him pick the yarn out, and he just picked something out that I'd picked up at the stash sale at Fort Worden. And I knit them for him, and he was like, oh, you made those? I said, yeah. And he's like, I don't know if I want them now. So they might be mine, or aww. I might give them away, whatever. I mean, it, you know, it's pretty easy to do. It also reminded me that the first time I knit maize, I looked at the pattern, and I was like, oh, I got it. And knit the gloves, like, completely on my own, like, woo, like, so not knit to the pattern. So this time I was like, really? That's what the pattern says? Because I just totally, like, yeah, okay, I got the idea of it, and just winged it the That's last funny. Time. I don't know what went into that process, but I don't think I really...
They were cute, though.
They were really cute, but I didn't even realize it until I knit them this time, and I'm reading the pattern and going, I don't think I did that last time, so... I'm currently knitting, as we speak, on my, seawall scarf, which I've been working on for a little while, which is a total stash buster old, Rowan felted tweed, and some that I picked up at the, like, people were getting rid of partial skeins at the stash sale at Fort Worden, and then some that I had left over from, my Lois cardigan from years ago, so that definitely qualifies as a deep stash. Not only my deep stash, but other people's deep stash. And I've got it all done except for the little end borders, which are just a couple rows of knitting and then a three needle bind off at both ends. And
it's big.
Yeah. Well, it's a scarf. So
it's scarf size.
Yeah, it's scarf size. But it's been a fun knit. So you like knit.
Well, those are totally your colors. Of course they are, because they're your leftovers.
Well, actually, they're not all my leftovers though. So there's like I've got like a teal, a green, a light blue, a grayish white, and gray. So the gray and the green are from my Lois cardigan, but actually the two shades of blue came from somebody else. And the grayish white is also from my Lois cardigan, but I didn't have very much of that. So you make these this strip of little squares using all the colors. And the original pattern calls for a lot more colors than I had, mm-hmm. but I just did it with what I had. And then you pick up on one side and knit a little bit of garter and stockinette. And then you pick up on the other side and do a turning ridge and then do stripes. I think when I originally described it, I thought they were garter stitch stripes, but it's just stockinette stripes. So you're knitting the stripes the whole length of the scarf.
So it's like a tube scarf?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you pick it up and then you three needle bind off. So like this is the turning ridge and then right. you three needle bind off to close up the tube.
Oh, it's going
to
be so cozy.
And then, yeah, even just, I was working out the other night and just sitting it in my lap, it was making me really warm just to have all that felted tweed in my lap. So that's it's really close to done, almost there, not quite. I think I'm gonna run out of my main color before I finish knitting both ends, but you know, it's scrappy, so I'll just throw it. But it was funny, too, because we were talking on Monday night, we were talking about scrap projects, and Shannon was saying that she doesn't like really scrappy looking projects, and I was mm-hmm. saying how I'm obsessed with really scrappy projects. Uh-huh. But what I like about this is that
really looks scrappy.
It's really stash bustery, but it doesn't look like I just threw everything together. So it could be, I mean, it's not necessarily written to be a stash buster, but you wouldn't use a lot, especially if you used as many colors as she says to use for the squares.
Right.
You'd really barely use any of a skein. So if you went out and bought your yarn for this, you'd have tons left over. So
you could make it look super duper scrappy.
Yeah, you could go really crazy scrappy, and like the stripey side could be a million different colors. It doesn't have to be,
as long as they're the same weight, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It's been fun to knit. It's part of a whole ebook that's called, I want to say, Safe Haven. And there are just a whole bunch of variations on this. There's a hat that's done like this. There's mitts. It's Louise. Oh, she's got a name that is like Zang. What's her name? come on, computer or phone.
I have her.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm not. It's like Louise Zazbangham or something like that. Yeah. Am I making that up?
Sorry, I'm clicking because
I think it's two words. Yeah, there it is. Louise Zazbangham. I think
there's
Seawall. Yes, Zazbangham. Okay, I wasn't making that up. Anyway, so the whole collection, it's just all variations on the same idea, where there's there's like cowl and mitts and different hats, but they all have.
So probably if you got the yarn for that,
you could make
all the things.
Yeah, you could make like the mitts and the hat and the
cute
and the cowl and the everything. But it's fun. So there's this, and then there's one. What else? Oh, and then I've been working on my Ravi, still creeping my way through the cowl.
Shop. Mm-hmm.
It's the shop knit along right now. That's Carol Feller's pattern. So, and that's everything for me.
Cool.
What you knitting?
I am nearing the end of the second sock for Noah for Christmas, which is, they are the Gentleman's Sock for Evening Wear. From Knitting Vintage Socks by Nancy Bush, which is kind of my go-to pattern book for socks for Noah because I think I've said this before, he has like really wide feet. So in a lot of the men's socks in there are already 72 stitches or in that range. This one had like calf shaping and a faux seam and a lot of stuff, but I just took it out and I'm doing the lace panel down the center of the sock, 72 stitches.
It's nice, too, that she does ones that are patterned, but still for men.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that out there, I don't think.
It's a lot of texture or maybe cables, but...
Yeah.
These ones have a lace panel down the front, and he actually asked for something slightly lacy, so it was like... It's like lace and texture.
Yeah.
And I've been knitting these on the bus since I started my new job. I can get like one repeat done on the way there, and since the bus is way slower on the way home, I can get almost two repeats done. So it's going quickly though, and I think I'll finish it probably sometime tomorrow.
Cool.
Hopefully. And it's just some knit picks. There's Stroll Heather, I think it's a discontinued color, so it was like $5 for the pair of socks or something. So excuse me. And I'm also working on a sample knit for Cerulea, another one.
Oh, wow.
But that's all I'll say about it, because I'm not very far.
Alrighty.
Bunny Girl in a Dotty Dress by Julie Williams.
That?
Let me show you. I finished the first. I want to make two of them, because I have yarn. I've been kind of hiding them from Audrey.
Oh, my gosh.
I have that first bunny done.
Oh, my God. It's so cute.
And I have to say, so... They're super adorable in their little stuffies. There's a fox.
Her little shoes. They're so cute.
There's a little fox girl and a little fox boy and a little bunny girl and a little bunny boy. And
cute.
You knit the body, like the the fur color. Mm-hmm. It's like a light Aran weight yarn, and you knit it on threes.
Oh.
Which normally would hurt my hands, but I use Rowan Kid Classic.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really easy to knit down on a smaller needle. And it's
and then it makes real fuzzy. Fuzzy!
Because I had
God, that's so cute.
I had a ball that I bought at someone's stash sale, like garage sale,
cute.
For like a dollar. And then I bought the stuff for the tights and the shoes and the dress, which is Millamia or Malamia, Sweden.
Millamia, yeah.
Millamia, Sweden. Naturally soft merino. And I have a bright pink, a white, and a bright green.
It's so cute. Doesn't really she have cute. Like a whole wardrobe of outfits that she can wear?
So I bought that too.
Oh, so, that's so cute.
I think for the fuzzy part, you only use like 65 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think even less, actually.
Yeah, that doesn't look like that much.
So I'm going to make two of them.
Oh.
Little tail. I'm going to make two of them with some little dresses for Audrey for Christmas.
Cool.
Or her birthday, because they're like right next to each other.
Yeah.
Depends on how much I get done. But the first bunny's done. And there is a lot of sewing, but the little pieces go pretty quickly. And the pattern has really amazingly detailed instructions on how to do everything.
Oh, that's good.
And tips and techniques and everything. And I was looking, the seasonal dresses pattern, has all these variations, but at the bottom of each dress, there's different animals, and I think she's slowly adding different animals in. There's, like, aww, an elephant and a bear,
aww,
and a little piggy. They're really
so
cute. But what she has available right now are the rabbits and the foxes.
So cute.
They are very cute.
I had a customer today who bought some yarn. The color of the yarn was red fox, and she made a what does the fox say joke. But if I had to guess, I'd say this woman was about 74 years old. So I was saying to Kathy, like, she's not who I would have pegged to know the what does the fox say. But I guess that just shows that it is now
a thing.
A thing that everyone knows.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm working on that. And I have a dress cast on. But I don't want to work on it while Audrey's awake.
Right.
So.
Adorable.
It is adorable. I'm hoping to have them done Monday so I can bring them to knitting for and tell. Because they're so cute.
They are.
So that's what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I finished a few things. I finished rye. I was knitting those last time.
Mm-hmm.
Also from the Simple Collection.
Right.
By Tin Can Knits.
These are the ones for your brother?
Yeah. They're done. They've been done. I really didn't like that yarn. I just threw it away.
Oh.
There's quite a bit left. I also knit flax from that same collection for my old job, because I started a new job. My old job, one of the girls was going to have a baby. Actually, she might have had a baby. She was going to have a boy. So I knit flax, which is the little pullover sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And it took just over one skein of Cascade 220 Super Wash.
Oh,
like, I could probably knit like a hat or two, like baby hats, out of the leftovers. So, and that was really fast. So I think it calls for a heavy worsted or an Aran weight yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up knitting the second size because I was using smaller needles and smaller yarn.
Oh, okay.
But it's, you know, vaguely baby size.
Yeah. Did you see they just released the last pattern?
Yeah, the cardigan.
The cardigan called Harvest, which is very, very cute.
It's cute.
And simple, as the name suggests. Nice and simple.
Speaking of simple, I knit the Simple Skype Socks by...
Skype Socks?
Well, it's SKYP.
Ah, okay.
Slip,
I was like...
You're an over.
Ah.
But I think everyone just calls them Skype.
Okay.
By Adrienne Koo. It's a free pattern on Ravelry. And a lot of people have knit them at a sock weight. Because it's,
because they're socks?
No. The pattern calls for a sport weight. But a lot of people have knit it at a sock weight. So I made them for my new brother-in-law at a Malabrigo Arroyo. Less than one skein.
Cool.
And they're really fast. And I knit them in the Vaux color. So they're the dark green.
Oh, I love that color.
They are really nice, and they went fast because it's on twos or threes, I want to say.
Big yarn, big needle.
Yeah, they're nice. Awesome. And I want to actually make those in the sock weight for me at mm-hmm. some point. Because I think it works really well with variegated yarns because the Passover kind of breaks up the pooling and stuff that happens.
Cool.
And I knit the Maybe Socks by Liz Abinant from the Funky collection. It's a three pattern ebook she put out a while ago. I knit Tobias.
Those are socks for each member of the Funky family from Arrested Development.
Yeah. So I've knit Tobias, mm-hmm. and now I've knit Maybe, so I have Lindsay left. And those are for my sister-in-law, and I knit them in Fly Designs Cashmere, which I won at Madrona as a door prize. I think I got a gift certificate, and that's what I picked out, and it wasn't even in my, like, Ravelry stash or anything. I was just, like, asking him, I was like, what color socks should I make for Chloe? And he's like, I don't know, red. And I, like, dug through, and I'm like, red!
Done!
So that is... That's what I finished.
All right.
And I'm in the process of wrapping stuff up and sending it out, so...
Good.
Which is nice.
So I am actually reading a book.
What?
I probably mentioned this before. I have Life After Life by Kate Atkinson.
Right.
Love Kate. So I got it, like, right when it came out. I was so excited. And then I don't know what happened. It, like, got buried on my nightstand, and I forgot about it. And I finally picked it back up, and I thought, I just need to start over. Like, from the beginning, I couldn't remember the characters' names or anything. So I started over, and I love it. I love her prose. I love her writing so much. It just, she's so dry. It just makes me chuckle when I read it. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just really, really loving it. So I'm actually, and I'm more than past the 50-page mark, which seems to be like my dead zone, where I. So I'm feeling optimistic that I'll actually finish this book That's sometime awesome. This. Well, no, I shouldn't say this year. Sometime in the near future, perhaps not in this calendar year, but. That's awesome. Anyway, so were you reading anything? Or of course you're reading. You've got a whole long list there.
Let's see. I'm reading three books.
Of course you are.
Well, because I have one on my nightstand. I have one at work, so I don't have to carry it back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then I have another one, like, right there next to the sofa. although two of them are very close to being done, so I'm reading American Gods, which I talked about a while ago and had to return it to the library because the ebook, I couldn't renew it, mm-hmm. but Tyler lent it to me.
Oh, so cool.
And I have like maybe 40 pages left. I really like the first half, like a lot, and then it just kind of petered out for me. I don't know why. Because I still like the main character, Shadow. I still like him. And it had a lot of the same characters in it in the second half. Mm-hmm. Just feel like there's more mystery involved with the first half. Mm-hmm. And then once that started getting cleared up, maybe it's just a little bit too long. It's like almost 600 pages.
Oh.
It's just maybe a little too long for me. And then also I stopped like kind of in the middle of it. Which probably killed some of it for me. So, it's still good, though. I don't know, maybe it has, like, a super awesome ending. Someone was telling me that it's going to be, like, a Showtime show or something.
Oh.
Or a...
I hadn't heard
that. HBO series, like True Blood or something.
Wow.
Which I think that series would lend itself really well to it. So I'm curious to see if that actually happens.
Yeah.
So I'm almost done with that, and I'm reading The Thorn Birds, which when I said that, not this Monday, but last Monday, everyone was like, oh my god! Jared was like, pot boiler! So, yeah. If you don't know what The Thorn Birds book is, it's by Colleen McCullough, and it's this huge, like, almost 800-page book. It's really long. And it was made into a mini-series in the mid-80s? Late 80s. Something like that. And the book was published in 1976.
Yeah. Richard Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it basically it starts in the early 1900s and it goes through several generations of this family, the Clearys, in New Zealand and Australia. And they work on a sheep ranch, basically, mm-hmm. called Drogheda. And I'm sorry, Australians, if I'm saying that incorrectly. So there's lots of stuff about sheep in it and raising sheep.
It's knitting related.
And some stuff about merino. It's very interesting. But the main part of the story involves this woman, Maggie, and Father Ralph Bricassart.
Right.
And their ongoing love affair.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's very... sinful. I don't know. It's pretty good. I actually like it a lot more than I thought it would for what I remember watching the miniseries.
Yeah.
And how trashy it was. So I find it strangely compelling. And I'm really close to being done. I have.
Well, everyone at Knitting was like, yeah, that's actually a really good book.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of enthusiastic endorsements of it.
And then both Regan and Sharon told me I should read Trinity.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I like the Thornbirds. And they're like, oh my God, you have to read Trinity. I was like, okay, I'll put it on my list. But yeah, it just follows this love affair and kind of explores different members of the family. You know, it goes through drought on the sheep farm and... different parts of Australia and sickness and World War II. I think it's after World War I. The boys are only in World War II, I think. And then, you know, Maggie's two kids, Dane and Justine, and it kind of follows them. And then I think it ends with Justine. I'm on the second to last section, which is Dane. And, he is Maggie and Ralph's love child, and Ralph does not know it.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he also, Dane, decides to go into the church. So I just got to the part where he has been ordained at the ordained. Vatican.
Wah, wah.
I know. They mentioned that in there. Dane ordained.
Ugly.
Har, har.
Har, har.
But it's surprisingly good. I don't know.
Good?
Yeah. Pleasantly surprised. Considering it's so long and I'm almost done with it.
Yeah.
I'm also reading Unsold, S-O-U-L-E-D, by Neil Schusterman. Right. It's the third, and I think it's the final book in the Unwind Distology, I think. I talked about this before, the first two books.
The Amazon reviews on that are like, wow. There's like serious, you know, all the, I mean, you can tell from reading it, like, what religion people are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people get really, really worked up and really upset.
I haven't read any of those because I just go to the Nikki suggested it to me, and I just went to the library and got it. I'll have to go read some of them.
Well, I mean, I don't normally read the reviews, but it's one of those ones where it's super polarized. It's either, like, 5 stars, 1 star, I wish I could give it 0, you know, and just really... Huh.
Goodreads, I think, has a more liberal reading population, maybe.
Because and also maybe a more thoughtful review process than the Amazon, like, this did not jibe with my worldview. 0 stars.
Yeah. So, so far it's good. I'm not that far into it because I was trying to finish up the other two books I'm reading before I just get sucked into that world again. But yeah, I think it's the final book.
Yeah.
And... it's good. I like it. But I finished 2 books. I read The Ghost Map by Stephen Johnson, which is about the cholera epidemic in London in the 1850s, and how they kind of finally figured out how cholera is transmitted, and mostly through the pavement hitting legwork of these two doctors, or one was a pastor and one was a doctor, and he was one of the first, I think it's Dr. Snow, he was one of the first anesthesiologist, like, he figured out, like, what temperature stuff had to be for it to be, for anesthesia to work properly and stuff. And it kind of, it just tracks this one cholera epidemic and how they figured out what was going on. It's super interesting. Also goes along with that whole Typhoid Mary thing I was talking about a while ago. And water supply and, you know, public works and utilities and things like that. So,
yeah,
I recommend it. Very good. And I read Don't Look Now by Daphne du Maurier, which is a collection of her shorter stories. And it has the birds in it, which is far creepier and does not have a happy ending compared to the Hitchcock movie.
I didn't even realize that was based on du Maurier.
Yeah.
So, you know, Joan Fontaine died this week.
Who's really?
Rebecca in the Hitchcock film, but...
I love that movie.
Yeah. I had no idea that was based on du Maurier.
And it's not very long either. Yeah, the big difference being that it takes place in England and has a really ambiguous ending where you have a feeling that things are just not going to end up well for anyone. Okay. But it's kind of a weird collection. It's all kind of, I don't want to say paranormal, but like kind of way more creepy kinds of stories, like and not necessarily mysteries, but there's like one where this woman who's a housewife is having surgery on her eyes and she's getting these lenses put in, and there's a series of lenses, and the first one she gets, everyone has an animal head. It's really creepy. And then she gets these other ones put in, and everyone looks normal, but her head this time is an animal head. It's totally weird stuff, and it's like right up my alley.
Yeah.
It's like really creepy stuff. I don't know. I recommend the collection. It's interesting. I think it's older too. It's like from the 70s, I'm pretty sure. At least the jacket on the book that I had was from the 70s. If you like Daphne du Maurier, I think you'd like it. I mean, she does tend toward, like, kind of weird mystery fantasy type stuff.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit sci-fi, which I like. So, that is what I've been reading.
That's cool.
Do you want to do this book review?
Yeah, let's do this book review.
So, Joanna Johnson sent us a copy of Green Gables Knits to review. And if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know that I am a huge fan of Anne of Green Gables, the whole series, and Ella Montgomery in general. So
I kind of feel like I'm not even like fit to review this as someone who has not actually read the series. I started to read it when I was stuck at the airport at some point this summer. I was stuck at the airport and I was able to get Wi-Fi long enough to like download a free version of it and read like 3 pages of it before my flight was called. So
yeah, you know, and I don't actually think that Green Gables is the best one. I think that maybe it was the best one when I was younger, but now I think like the later ones are more interesting. But they follow her as she grows up, and but this book is based on Green Gables, and it says Patterns for Kindred Spirits. It's 8 patterns, and the Ravelry download is $12, and it's cheaper than getting it from Amazon, so you should just, or 40 cents more expensive than Amazon, so you might as well just get it from Ravelry.
Yeah.
Support Ravelry.
Or you can get it at your LYS. Or
your LYS. and she has an Etsy shop, too.
I didn't realize how small a volume it was going to be. So to me, it kind of felt like the beginning of something.
Right.
Like the start of a collection I don't know if that's what Joanna has in mind, but it kind of feels like it could
continue on. There are 7 books in this series.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like it could continue on. So you get
a couple of different patterns for based on different characters, and a couple base for Anne, like a carpet bag and a sweater, and then a pattern each for several different other characters in the book. But it's a really cute volume, but it's
small. About it, yeah, it is small. What I like about it is that it's not super literal. Like, I know everyone goes crazy for the Jane Austen Knits books, and I love Jane Austen, like the magazines, but sometimes I find the pattern adaptations way too literal, like completely unwearable, and I feel like all this stuff is wearable.
Yes,
I might not wear the apron, but like Anne's sweater, I really like.
Yeah,
it's
I love
so
that one.
Cozy looking.
Yeah.
And it's a sport weight sweater. It's just one of those open front cardigans with some pockets, and it's got like a, is that a broken rib?
Yeah, it looks like a broken rib, really deep, 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 deep cuff, and a deep ribbing, around the neckline and around the body with some pockets in it. So it, yeah, it does, it totally looks like the sort of thing you could make and just live in.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely to me is the one that jumped out. But the hat, the Diana's hat is really pretty too. And there's like a little capelet and a scarf. There's, you know, a vest and a scarf. So stuff for guys and like stuff for guys that guys would actually wear.
Yeah, that Matthew's vest I think is
super really classic. Wearable vest with a nice big cable running down the front. A simple cable though.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, it's a really sweet little volume, but it is, I don't want people to have that moment that I had where I was like, oh, that's it. Like I wanted there to be more.
Mm-hmm.
So it is.
Well, that's good. Instead of like, why is there so much and none of it's that great?
Well, yeah. It's just, but it's really sweet, and you know, you can just tell it was done with a lot of affection.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I was like looking at it, I felt like it felt really true to, like, the characters in the story and, like, what they would wear, which is not necessarily true for other inspiration based on pattern books. But I feel like this is, and I would totally wear that Anne sweater.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Diana's hat. And I like Gilbert's scarf, even though I'm not a huge scarf person.
Yeah.
And Matthew's vest. And I would probably knit Miss Stacy's capelet. I don't know if I would actually wear it, but it looks like it would be fun.
Yeah,
fun to knit.
Yeah, good use for all that sock yarn.
I know, geez.
Spending fingering weight. That's what we need to do, is just knit capelets with all of our sock yarn.
Yeah. It's cute though. It's just like think a feather and fan pattern at the bottom.
Yeah. So Joanna has given us a copy, an electronic copy that we can give away to one of you lucky listeners.
And I will post a question about Green Gables. Well, probably about what you like from the book, but also like what your favorite Ellen Montgomery book is, maybe. I would like to hear it. 'Cause she has some like totally crazy ones. Like, Kilmeny of the Orchard, which is not one that a lot of people have read, but she's like, is she dumb? She refuses to speak, I think, or maybe she can't hear. It's like this whole, and it's not from any physical cause, and then there's this love story and this villain, and it's like very Victorian romance.
Huh.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Not
that's not my favorite.
No.
But she has a lot of books. So I'll post that on the board. And I think we'll do New Year's Eve as the cutoff date for that. So just a couple weeks.
Okay.
And
that's good.
That's great. So thank you, Joanna, for letting us review this. And I think I'll be knitting that hat soon. Yeah.
She got in touch with me and she was like, do you think you guys would like to? And I was like, oh my gosh, Erin is a huge Anne of Green Gables fan.
I am.
Yes.
I'm very happy.
Yes, yes, definitely. So
I'm trying to talk Noah to the sweater vest. He's not really going
Noah seems like the sort of person who'd be down with a sweater vest. It kind of fits his professorial vibe.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's true. Yeah. I think it'd look good on him.
Yeah.
He might get it anyway.
I was going to say, just sneak it in there. He'll wear it.
I know. So. All right.
Movies?
Movies.
I went to the movies. We went on Thanksgiving, as is our tradition, we went on Thanksgiving, and the only thing we could all agree on seeing on Thanksgiving was Frozen. Actually, I should take that back. But we could all agree on seeing it was that Wes and I decided we were going. We told the kids. And they weren't that excited to see it, but it's another one of the Disney Animation Studio films that our friend Dale worked on. He's a special effects supervisor for Disney Animation Studios. And if you haven't seen all the previews for it already or been to see it yet, it is a tale of a princess who is born with the ability to freeze things, who and her relationship with her sister. It is a musical, and so the Freezy Princess is voiced by Freezy Princess is voiced by Idina Menzel of Wicked fame, and then the sister is voiced by Kristen Bell, who I always forget is also a singer. She's in a film version of the musical of Reefer Madness. Anyway, it's very simple the way the storytelling goes in it, which Wes and I both kind of wished there had been a bit more like subplot, a little bit, you see where it's going. It doesn't really throw you a lot of curveballs, but it's really cute and the animation is really nice. It's, yeah, anyway, we enjoyed it. The kids did not complain about it.
Yeah, Audrey went to a birthday party where they watched
that. Oh, yeah. And it is, there's a bit of peril, but nothing too scary for little kids.
Yeah, she said it was funny and just a little bit scary.
Yeah, not too bad. So that was sweet. And then the other things I've been watching, I had a Netflix snafu. I got season 2 of Girls. I watched the first disc. I put it in the mail. I got the next disc, but it wasn't... I had messed up my queue. So instead of getting the next disc for Girls, I got the first disc of season 2 of Homeland, which was like, gear shift! just like, totally different show. Okay. So then I watched that, and now with both the shows, I'm like, oh my god, what happens now? So I'm waiting to get now Girls... Second disc is coming, and I gotta
wait. You're not gonna alternate, are you?
Well, Girls is only 2 discs, so I get the second one, then I can just kind of binge through Homeland.
That's good.
And I'm finding myself, it's that time of year where I'm like, holidays are coming up. Should I bump my Netflix up so I get more discs? Because I find around Christmas time is when I suddenly find myself running out of stuff to watch. Either that or I'll have to pony up and get Hulu Plus and get caught up on all these shows I haven't been watching. Something else that I tried to watch, I talked to Aaron about this a little bit. I tried to watch American Horror Story, and I know I talk about on the podcast, like, I don't really like scary stuff, but
Horror Story is crazy,
I kind of think of myself as someone who isn't really that tied up about genre. Like, I don't really care what the genre is, so long as it's really well done. I won't watch stuff that is, like, what I consider, like, horror porn, which is like
the Saw movies,
yeah, like, which is like violence, yeah, because you get off on seeing violent stuff, like, and I don't care how well that sort of stuff is done, I have no interest in that, but I won't not see something just because it fits into the horror category.
Well, yeah, because you watch like Cabin in the Woods,
yeah, which I really enjoyed, and I keep hearing really good things about American Horror Story, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to watch it. So I picked, like, the worst time. Like, the kids are asleep, Wes is out, I'm home alone in the dark, and I try to watch this thing, and I made it about 40 minutes into the first episode, and I was so freaked out by it. And I will say it doesn't even, like, show anything that horrible. It's just a lot of scary atmosphere. But then there's this really icky, creepy, ghosted sex component to it that I just really got kind of freaked out about.
That was the first season. I forgot about that.
Because I remember my older son was saying, can I watch American Horror Story? And I'm like, I don't know. It looks, I mean, even just the promo material, it looks like there's sort of a
It was like a
lack of BDSM. Better term, like kind of a rape situation, but like supernatural. And I'm just like, ooh, this is really disturbing.
Yeah, I don't think I would let
him watch it. No, I'm definitely not. That's not up for debate. He's not watching it. But now, like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to watch. And I felt so like childish. Like this was just too creepy for me to watch. Mm-hmm. And I told Wes like I need to watch it. Like. And I need him to be there with me with, like, you know, in daylight. And then when scary stuff happens, so I can, like, cover my eyes. And then he can just tell me what happens. He's like, oh, that sounds like lots of fun, honey. Like, you know, so he's not too interested in that. So I don't know if I'll be watching it anytime soon. But now I'm just like, I wish people would stop talking about how good it is because I'm too scared to watch it. I feel like such a dork. Like, what am I, like, 5 years old again and too scared to watch Fantasy Island? Like... I was totally creeped out by Fantasy. There are a few episodes of Fantasy Island where creepy stuff happens. I don't know. That's the way I remember, at least. I don't know.
It's funny. But I can see that. I mean, that stuff doesn't bother me. I don't like... Because I prefer that kind of weird, paranormal, creepy, violent, strange stuff to, like, action movies where it's just, like, violence because... Yeah.
Well, I was saying in knitting, like, if it was just the dead kids in the basement, I'd be okay with it. But it was that sexual component that was really disturbing.
It just goes from there.
Yeah. I don't think I'll watch it, I think. It just looked really upsetting.
There's some of that in the second season, too. I haven't seen the third season.
The third season is witch, I don't know. Yeah.
Salem Witches, right?
Yeah, something like that. So I don't think I'll be watching that. But I felt like... It just
I'm proud
made
of you
feel,
for giving a shot.
It made me feel so childish, though. Like, this is too creepy. I don't want to watch this. But I don't know. I guess there's plenty of other stuff out there for me to watch. Can I also put in a plug for a really silly TV show that I love so much right now, which is The Goldbergs, which I can't remember if I talked about this before. It's a series that just started on ABC this year. It's created by Adam Goldberg, the actor. And it's supposed to be, like, loosely based on his childhood. So it's set in the 80s. And it is one of the few shows out there that you can name that is about a Jewish family, which really doesn't happen very much. So I always I think I latch onto those especially. But what I love about it, though, is so it's set during the time, you know, where I was in high school. Like, I'm probably the same age as the older sister on the show. The way they make it, it's not only like a sitcom about the 80s, it has the same feeling as an 80s family sitcom. So there's just something about it that's so good-natured in the way that TV shows just aren't anymore.
Oh, like the Huxtables and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just kind of sweet, but there's just funny stuff in it. Like one of the first episodes, the Adam character is forbidden to go see the Poltergeist, mm-hmm. but he goes to see it anyway, and he's going through this phase where he no longer wants to like hug his mom or snuggle with her anymore, and she's really missing that. So the movie scares him so much, he starts, like, wanting to sleep in his parents' bed again. And she realizes that he's seen the movie, but she enjoys the snuggling so much that she's starting to, like, try to... Like, he finds this clown doll in his closet. God. And so he throws it away, and she, like, fishes it out of the trash and puts it back in the closet so he'll come and sleep in her bed
That's
again.
That's really funny.
But it's really cute. It's funny. There's like, a roller rink episode and... Mm-hmm. You know, just a lot of 80s sort of touchstone stuff that I'm enjoying. I watch it, though, and my kids, like, my younger son will watch it sometimes with me. And he just doesn't get it. He's watching this show like, what is funny about this? And I'm like, I have tears streaming down my face. I'm laughing so hard at something that's happening. He's just like, I don't get this. Why is this funny? I'm like, you had to be there. It was the 80s. It was a thing. But anyway, I am enjoying that. It's an ABC sitcom, I think, but... Oh, and we also, speaking of ABC things, we finally watched the Lady Gaga and the Muppets Christmas special, which also had RuPaul on it, so I kind of figured, like, home run for Jessica, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Kristen Bell's in it, too, but it was so bad. Really? And I realized it's because I hate Lady Gaga, so it was just this weird, like, And they even did all these songs, like, they had Elton John on, and they sang Benny and the Jets,
where I'm like, they already did this on the Muppets, and they did it so much better on the original Muppet Show, or they had Piggy singing Santa Baby, but she did that in a different Muppet Christmas special, so.
Jeez.
Yes.
They need new material.
They apparently do, and so I didn't enjoy that, so boo. All right, that was a really long ramble. Sorry. That's okay. I said we were going to keep it short. What have you been watching?
Luther.
Did I show you the picture of Kate Middleton meeting Idris Elba?
Yes.
Where she's I love like, the one where she just looks like she's like, so excited to meet him.
I still have 2 episodes left of the second series because it's only 4 episodes.
Yeah, that's a good show.
So I feel like I'm kind of like drawing it out just so I have more to watch. Noah and I started watching it together, and then he like stayed up 2 nights in a row, like hoovering all of it. So I'm like, don't you want to watch this? He's like, oh, I watched it. I'm like, you watched all of it? He's like, yes. Which is fine. I don't really get mad when he does that.
Yeah.
He's about to come in.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I didn't think that... Are there 3 series now? I can't even remember.
I think there all are, but together. Only
the
2
The third one I didn't think Netflix was that great, but it's still like, you know... An evening with Idris Elba is still not a bad evening.
He's a super, super interesting character.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like him. I like him in that, and it's a fun series. It's good kind of gritty.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of twists and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things, it's the kind of show I like if you're going to have a police procedural, to have sort of a bigger arching mystery kind of holding the whole thing together instead of just the
week by
murder
week
du jour. I really like that a lot.
Yeah. And I started watching The Tudors again.
Oh.
I totally forgot everything that happened. I mean, I know what happened because history.
First he was married.
Right? But like I think I had watched season 1 and like a couple of episodes of season 2, and I'm like, I don't even remember where I was in this.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. And I just turn it on and like and don't really pay that much attention, so it's fine.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
But I watched Blanca Nieves, which is a silent film. It's a new silent film. It's in black and white. It's a retelling of Snow White.
Oh.
And it's told through like mythology surrounding toreadors, matadors, and stuff like that. Huh. It is very good.
Cool.
And I started watching it because Dashiell recommended it to me. He's like, it's awesome. It's like, okay, dude, I don't know about this. And I started watching it, and it's really good.
Oh, neat.
At first, I wasn't sure about it because it was so silent film, like very overly dramatic, but as it got going, I thought it was I got like really into it, and it was
kind of hard to knit while watching that.
Yeah, because it is
you really don't want to take your eyes off it.
Because I think it's Spanish, but they do the, you know, the cards are in English for English audiences. But it's on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
And I don't think it's that long. And there are a few twists. It's not like straight up Snow White, happy ending.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. And the villainess, the evil stepmother, is pretty, pretty cool. So that's pretty much all I've been watching. All
right. That sounds good.
I mean, because I've been reading like 600 and 700
yes, page
books.
No kidding. Well, so when you finish, are you going to rewatch The Thornbirds?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that even available?
Oh, I don't know. The library might have
the library, Or we probably need like a VCR to watch it.
I think, well, because I've seen it before, and I think it was on 2 VHS tapes.
Yeah. You're going to have to find someone with a TV and a VCR to watch that with. Oh, that'll be funny.
Sharon might want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
All right. Well, that was longer than I thought that was going to be. All right. Well. So, this is going to be our last
get-together
before the holidays. Mm-hmm. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
All that stuff. And I think maybe our next episode or the first one of the next year, we'll talk about knit-along stuff for next year.
Yes.
And
maybe like a little end of year recap thing.
Yeah.
About stuff. I don't think we really did goals. No. I didn't really have any.
I'm not a goal and resolution kind of person because I just feel like they just are a way to make myself feel bad. So, and I never, like New Year's resolutions, I just like, I don't do that anymore. I used to do it, and then by like January 4th, you're like, I'm a failure. The year's ruined.
Which is the way you want to start off.
I know. I don't enjoy it. It's not, let's just put it this way. They're not motivating for me. So I have opted out of that whole process. But
we'll do a recap of this year and talk about stuff for next year. And yeah. It'll be very exciting because it'll be 2014.
Crazy.
I know. It's hey, crazy. Audrey will be 5.
That's crazy.
I know.
We're living in... Okay. In 2014, I'm going to have a 16-year-old. And celebrate my 20th wedding anniversary. What?
Wow.
I'm old.
On that note...
All right.
Oh, you can find us on Ravelry, Double Knit Podcast. Whoa. Fans.
I just threw a stitch holder across the room. Yes. And show notes are doublenit.net. Sorry.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll be so blue just thinking. Decorations are red on a green Christmas tree. Won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. When those blue snowflakes start falling, Christmas are white, but I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. I'll have a blue Christmas without you, without you. I'll be so blue just thinking.